From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Michael Montgomery, in this week for Al Letson. A few days before Donald Trump's election victory, his running mate J.D. Vance held a rally in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mother Jones reporter Tim Murphy was there. The race in Arizona was expected to be close, very close. Tim went to the rally to talk to voters, and he heard many of the same talking points he's heard throughout his reporting on Trump. He says it like it is. He's good for business. He'll close the border. And while Tim was standing there, baking in the sun, waiting for Vance to take the stage, he overheard a conversation between two voters that surprised him. It was a civil but passionate debate over Arizona's Proposition 139, a referendum that would guarantee the right to an abortion in the state. One person was against it. The other was very much in favor. Her name is Stacey Bouchier. And when Tim talked to her, she told him something he hadn't heard at one of these rallies before.
That's why I can't call myself a true Republican. Stay out of my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Stay out of my uterus.
Stacey describes herself as 100% pro-choice. That's why she told Tim she can't call herself a true Republican. But she's at a J.D. Vance rally, a man who has described himself as 100% pro-life. Tim wondered, how does she square these things? We've heard from a lot of Trump diehards. We've heard from plenty of never-Trumpers. But this election was defined by another kind of voter who sits somewhere in between, a place Tim calls the messy middle. We brought Tim in to hear what Stacey and voters like her can tell us about this election. Hey, Tim, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so like all of us, you've been on a wild ride with these elections. And I know you went to Arizona expecting the sort of post-election chaos that we saw back in 2020.
Yeah, I was out there planning to cover a contested vote, but found something else. I've been calling it the unsettled electorate, voters who are in that messy middle that aren't as neatly red or blue as the maps make it seem. Trump won the election and states like Arizona because he had the support of people who didn't necessarily define themselves as part of his base. Stacey's own split ballot told a complicated, and some might say contradictory, story.
Yeah, I mean, this election was full of contradictions. And, you know, we're still trying to talk to voters to understand the results. That's why I'm curious to hear what you learned from Stacey.
So Stacey lives in Fountain Hills, Arizona, which is just outside Phoenix. She's 52, divorced, and lives alone with her French bulldog, Zorro.
What? Hold on. Zorro, come in. Sorry, guys. I have a dog that's being grumpy.
When I interviewed her after the election, she told me some of the same things she told me that day at the Vance rally.
I will forever stand on my soapbox about being pro-choice. That is something that has not changed in my entire life, and a lot has changed in my life over a lot of different, you know, points of views about different things.
Stacey told me she cried when Roe was overturned. And remember, this is the first presidential election in half a century without Roe. So when Proposition 139 came up for a vote in Arizona, she was an enthusiastic supporter.
Once Roe v. Wade was overturned, my only option as a voter was to protect it in my state constitution. That's it, and it's why I didn't vote for Carrie Lake.
Lake was the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, endorsed by Trump, and she's called abortion the ultimate sin. For Stacey, those kinds of views are a deal breaker, so she split her ticket and voted instead for Democratic Congressman Ruben Gallego, in part because of his support for abortion rights. Not only did Gallego win, but Prop 139 passed overwhelmingly this month, with nearly 62% of the vote.
And yet Trump won in the state. So I do think there are a lot more people like me. I mean, the few close friends that I have here in Arizona that I do talk politics with, they're very much centrist like me. I don't even think they would consider themselves Republicans or Democrats.
I'm curious. So when Stacey describes herself as a centrist, what does that mean?
Stacey thinks of herself as a moderate. You know, she gets her news from all over the political and global spectrum, CNN and Fox News. She reads BBC, The Guardian, Al Jazeera.
I vote based on what I think is going to be best for myself as an individual, but also for the state. And I truly hope that the people representing me are staying true to what their constituents are asking them for. And if they don't, I will vote them out. I have no problem.
So, Michael, she's not loyal to any party. And though she voted for him in this election and the last one, she's not a Trump loyalist. For today's Republican voter, some of Stacey's views skew more liberal.
Equality for all, for one. I'm big on, you know, I have friends that are in the LGBTQ plus community that I'm 100% supportive of. They deserve everything, every right that I deserve.
And of course, being staunchly pro-choice.
So I totally get why she is interesting to you as a reporter, Tim. But Stacey's key values seem to be in such contradiction with what the Trump campaign has promised to do, like key figures in Trump's circle take a very hard line against abortion, for example.
Yeah. You know, Stacey told me that she thinks a lot of what Trump says is, quote, awful. She wants to tone down the rhetoric on all sides. And you hear this line that voters take Trump seriously, but not literally. That is sort of what Stacey is doing. She thinks she's correctly reading between the lines on what the Republicans say they'll do and what Democrats say they'll do. Neither completely speaks to her, but she's more comfortable with what the right was offering, at least in regards to the presidency.
Do I think he's going to put in a national abortion ban? No. He has too many other things that I think are a priority on his agenda to focus on a national abortion ban.
Michael, I think this is a really important point. A lot of people just didn't believe that Trump was going to do the things that Democrats said he would. They weren't even sure Trump was going to do all the things Trump said he would. It was the same thing with immigration.
I don't agree with all of Trump's messages about deporting everybody, you know, and everything he said he was going to do. But there needs to be immigration reform. I don't agree with the way, you know, the Biden administration basically just opened the border with no rules. I mean, we need to allow for immigration, but there needs to be checks and balances.
Now, this isn't actually true. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris backed an effort to expand the Border Patrol and even continue building Trump's wall. Stacey isn't really accepting either candidate at their word, but she feels like when it comes to Trump's rhetoric, she's correctly reading between the lines here, too.
And Tim, what if it isn't just rhetoric? As you know, many voters view Trump's plans as authoritarian, and they're worried that a second Trump administration could do real long-term damage to our democracy.
Stacey says she has faith in our democratic system and that Trump's worst impulses will be kept in check.
I am not worried about it. It's 4 years. I truly believe that our founders built this political system so that things don't swing too far left or too far right. And it's why our election system is set up the way that it is so that we can prevent fascism, communism, and we can have a democratic republic.
And it's not entirely irrational either. There's a lot of evidence that Trump often fails to deliver on what he says he's going to do. There's a sense going into the election that Americans wouldn't elect Trump again because they'd lived through his first term. The reality was that they were ready to elect him because they had lived through the first term. I think Stacey is also indicative of something else that's really important. This election really came down to the cost of living. Stacey's been laid off twice in the past 4 years and has been unemployed for a year now. She's mainly worked in tech on the marketing side of things. When we last spoke, she'd just come from a job interview and was really hoping for good news.
I mean, I've been living on my, you know, my savings, my 401ks that I've had to sell off. I have my real estate license, but, you know, the real estate market isn't what it used to be either. So it's been a struggle.
Part of the reason Stacey moved to Arizona from California 8 years ago was because of housing costs. It's something that was brought up by almost every voter I spoke to, both Democrats and Republicans. An NBC News analysis found that Trump overperformed in counties where it's hardest to buy a home. And that struggle is something that Stacey and so many others are feeling right now. And that's why the economy is one of her biggest issues.
Yeah, I mean, we know from exit polls that inflation was a huge issue in these elections. And it's also something we've seen, you know, in elections around the globe. But Tim, the fact is that Trump grew the national debt more than the Biden administration. And many economists say Trump's economic plan, and in particular, his emphasis on tariffs, are likely to grow inflation even more.
Yeah, that's true. But for Stacey, the discussion around tariffs is, quote, all speculation at this point. She's more concerned with what she sees as out-of-control government spending and blames Democratic policies that are putting more money into more social programs. Obviously, it's a bit more nuanced, but for Stacey, feeling the impacts of high inflation, soaring housing costs, and seeing news reports of immigrants receiving government assistance, it was easy for her to connect her situation to policies from Washington Democrats.
It's not about, oh, we need to keep raising taxes so we can pay for more programs. It's let's work within what we have and then make the adjustments as needed. It's what we do in business. It's what we do in our personal lives. I don't understand why the government gets a pass.
That's why she voted for Trump. It was the economy, stupid.
Right. And that's a line we've been hearing that goes back to the Bill Clinton administration.
And Stacey says that she actually voted for Bill Clinton in 1992 on his promise to balance the budget. And he did. She says it was an amazing accomplishment, something she hopes to see this time around.
I just think there's so many more opportunities with a strong economy, which comes from, I won't say necessarily a balanced budget, but a budget where spending is not out of control.
Socially liberal and fiscally conservative is kind of a cliche. But she's not preaching some kind of austerity gospel, something you hear a lot in Washington. She doesn't think this kind of spending is translating into real benefits downstream. It just feels like common sense. And it's not necessarily a partisan frame to her. Stacey also says her vote was more anti-Harris than pro-Trump. I mean, when I first met her, she called Harris the devil. As a transplant from the Bay Area, Stacey said she was really put off by the sort of California liberalism that she felt Harris represented. And Stacey says she's often felt dismissed by many on the left, as if her concerns weren't as important.
I mean, a perfect example is the fact that you have people like Jimmy Kimmel and The View and the whatever going, you people don't know what you did. That's where I think people feel insulted. They're not feeling heard. I mean, you want to feel heard. To have celebrities who make millions of dollars, you know, they are so self-righteous and so just oblivious to what the normal person has to go through day to day to put food on the table.
In the end, Stacey just thinks the Trump presidency will be better for her in the long run. And as we all know, she's not alone.
I think the biggest thing that drove change in the way that the votes were cast is the fact that everyday Americans that have normal jobs with families with normal salaries can't afford to put food on the table. And that is first and foremost, I think, more important to a human being than any other issue. And when that's put in jeopardy, they're gonna think and possibly change how they voted.
Okay, so Tim, you cover U.S. politics, and I want to know what you're reporting in Arizona, and in particular, what Stacey's experience tells you about these elections.
Yeah, I think one of the main takeaways you get from talking to someone like Stacey is that it's messy. The electorate is messy. You know, you tend to look at it in these hard red, blue binaries. But when you actually talk to somebody in kind of the middle of the electorate, what they're saying doesn't necessarily map easily onto either party's talking points. So I think it's worth understanding just how unsettled the electorate was that actually voted for Trump. You know, the Stop the Steal crowd is real and it's troubling. But there are also a lot of people out there like Stacey who just made a judgment call, not through any allegiance to a cult of personality, but based on their desire for a course correction. And there's a lot of people who will find this confusing and they won't understand Stacey's vote. And she is not concerned about that.
If somebody stands that firmly in their belief and believes I'm wrong, I can't change their mind. And I'm not going to try. I want to be productive. I want to do things that are for good. I've stopped trying to convince everybody in the world that I'm right. This is just how I feel.
You know, you write off people with these kinds of sentiments at your peril. As for all the talk that you get from the loudest voices on the left and the right, I think you could say that voters like Stacey swung this election. And it's very possible that they'll swing the next one, too.
Tim, thanks so much for sitting down with me. This reporting is super interesting and super important.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Tim Murphy is a reporter with Mother Jones. Voters like Stacey don't think Donald Trump will do everything he said he's going to do. But in his victory speech, Trump said his administration would be all about promises made, promises kept. And some of his supporters are banking on that.
I don't need anybody to think she's a hero. I just don't want people to Google my daughter's name and see domestic terrorist.
January 6th and Trump's promise of pardons. That's up next on Reveal.
This show is supported by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.